Yeah, we're late, so let's get the show on the road and have a good one. So here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
So you got her pregnant, huh?
Yeah, I got to put on my good sweatpants.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the stream link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And the IC channel is a Linux.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1020 of the Linux Link Tech Show. All that matters tonight is that it's just Joe.
Me.
And I. And we're gonna fill your ear with tech. Unless Joel shows up, right? There we go.
Right.
Joel's out resting today, and who knows if anybody else is going to show up. But who's laughing?
Oh, hopefully Murph comes. Jackie's laughing, my wife.
Oh, she's laughing that Joel's out resting?
Well, after I said it was all me, she said it's all John, baby.
All John? She called you John?
She was quoting a movie.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, is
Brad
that?
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, I never saw that. There's like a whole period where I missed a ton of movies. When did that come out?
Where did that come out? That was 2006. 2008.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a whole period where I missed a ton of movies because we no longer had video stores to rent from. I didn't have cable because I had cut the cord by then, and we.
2005.
Yeah, we had kids, so we couldn't go to the movies. Anyway, just a note, update. I solved my Docker image problems for the test image last week. I slimmed it down by removing some extra cruft. And after doing that, it worked fine. I was able to pass the tests locally. So then I applied it into a GitHub workflow. And all total, what was nice is by Friday, I had it all worked out in our test repository. And I made the scripts, copied them into our main repository, and set up a PR for that. And was going to I didn't want to do it on a Friday because you don't want to make big changes on a Friday. So on Monday, I took our infrastructure repo and I created, put the files in there that were necessary for creating the image, the Docker build files and the stuff that needed to get copied into the image. And I set up a job in there, a GitHub workflow to create the image and push it up to our artifact registry in Google Cloud, in Google Cloud Computing. And then Monday, I merged it in, and I only had one mistake. Like, it worked perfectly for doing the testing. And when I went to deploy it, when you merge the PR into the branch, it then kicks off the deployment job, which pushes, takes the branch that you've merged into and pushes it into the built branch for there. And it failed like almost right away. Actually, not right away. It failed. And But at the end, like at the end of it, and it was a little confusing at first, but then I realized when I copied the job, the workflow file over, I had left the old repository name in there, and I needed to fix that. And once I fixed that, it worked perfectly. So development and staging went out just fine, and I let it sit there for a day because for other people to test to make sure, like, it worked. Everything worked as expected. And then today, I pushed it out to production, and it failed, like, instantly in production. Like, the testing went fine, but the deployment job failed. And, like, it didn't give me a reason. It didn't even run the job. And I was really confused until I noticed that one of the things that is tough about the GitHub Actions workflow page in in your browser, is that you kind of have to have the window open at a certain size because there's messages at the bottom. And if it's not, if your browser window does not have it at a certain size, you'll look at that and not realize that there's maybe something below that's telling you why it's failing. And the reason why it's failing wasn't because I had any problems. It's because this GitHub repository is technically owned by VIP, and they give it to us. And our allotment for how many workflows that we can run in a given period had been exceeded. So it was just saying either you didn't pay your bill or you need to up your plan to be able to run this workflow right now. So I contacted them. They fixed it, ran the workflow. Boom. It worked perfectly. So things are going really great on that end. It is a Docker Hub image that I started with as a WordPress 6.2.2 PHP 8.0 image. I also have an 8.1 image that I just remade today in our tools to make sure that worked in the setup, because that's the next step, is I need to get us on to 8.1 from 8.0. And so that image is going to have to change. And then what's after that is a new deployment method, because the way that we've been managing all this is a mess and it's causing some problems. So what we hope to go to is a tagged release version where when we merge code in, we create a tag from that, and then we use that tag to deploy to the build branch is where it needs to go, as opposed to just an all-in-one push for whatever branch out there. Now, Joe, getting away from work-related stuff, I don't know if this is going to apply to you. And I'm kind of thinking maybe not so much. But last week, I wanted to take a trip down memory lane, all the way back to the year around 2000. And if you would go into a bookstore or a Staples, Office Max maybe, and I probably guarantee you any one of the what computer stores were there? Fry's? And what's the computer store that you go to, Joe?
CompUSA, CompUSA.
Yeah, those. I think they were all still around there. You could find boxed releases of distributions that started cropping up late 90s and early 2000s. One of the most prominent ones that I would see on a regular basis was either SUSE or Red Hat.
You can still like walk into Barnes & Noble and walk over to the magazine rack and find a disc with multiple distros on it.
You can, but what I'm talking about, Joe, and I don't know if you ever saw these, is it was a nice big box that came with a sizable manual. Now, Sousa had like a biblical manual that it came with. It was pretty thick and thorough, and it was really interesting. Red Hat, not as much. And there were a few other distributions out there. And the distribution that I kind of wanted to take for a drive technically doesn't exist anymore, but it's kind of evolved and been rolled into something else. Do you know the distribution I'm talking about, Joe? It's not Red Hat. It's not SUSE. And it's not Caldera.
CentOS?
Not CentOS. This is well before, I think it's before CentOS, actually. I don't know if CentOS was around back then. It is Mandrake. Did you ever play around with Mandrake Linux?
But Manjaro.
So Mandrake Linux was geared towards hobbyists, general users, enthusiasts. So if you were to go into a big box store, obviously you have Red Hat, which was more office or development kind of thing. That was geared towards business. And SUSE was kind of straddling that business and everything. Caldera Linux had NetWare integration built into it and kind of was on the networking kind of side and business. And Mandrake kind of fell more down on the consumer side. And that was heralded by a lot of people at the time, especially in lug meetings that I would go to, as being very user-friendly. The CDs that it came on, kind of like SUSE, came in like 6 or 7 CDs or something like that. It had like everything on there that you could probably want. And Mandrake was kind of similar to that. It was usually easier to install. It was kept up to date pretty rapidly. And so I think sometime in the early, mid-2000s, Mandrake was picked up by a Brazilian company, I think it was, that the company was Connectiva Linux, and they rolled it. So Mandrake was a French-based distribution, and they kind of rolled Mandrake and Connectiva together into Mandriva Linux. And then that was going for a while. And then when was it discontinued? 2011. So in 2011 was the last release of Mandriva, but it was picked up by the community for Open Mandriva. And I figured I would give Open Mandriva I would check it out. Because who doesn't like Open Mandriva, right? Now
I don't know anything about it, sorry.
Yeah, you don't. So Mandrake had this, like, one of the things that Mandrake had was a very nice user-friendly system setting / control panel called Drake Conf, similar a little bit to Linux Conf or SUSE's Yast, in that unlike something like Slackware or maybe Debian, where you had to do a lot of the system administration down there on the command line with the different tools that were provided there, you could do it graphically through their control panel. So that was probably one of the bigger selling points there. Now, Mandriva is available still in kind of two different releases. You have just the standard Mandriva LX, which is their desktop operating system. And then there's Mandriva, Open Mandriva. I should be calling it Open Mandriva. Open Mandriva, which is the one, which is the, so there's, they also have a Open Mandriva OML is their release. Then there's the Rome, I think it is, which is a rolling release of Mandriva. Okay, so it's Rome and Rock. I'm sorry. Rome, R-O-M-E, is their desktop system. And Rock is the rolling release system. So, obviously, I went, gravitated to Rock because I'm custom to rolling releases with Manjaro and Arch and everything like that. So, it's also a lot smaller download for the installer. I think it's like less than a gig, and the installer for Rome was 1.5 gigs, I think. So I was looking for a smaller footprint to install because I'm impatient and I wanted to get the rolling one is 1.8 gigs and the Rock, that's Rock, or sorry, Rolling Rome is the rolling release. Rock is not. I got them reversed. It's 2.4 gigs. So I went for the 1.8 and I slapped it on here. And I mean, what? I don't want to say I was disappointed by the installer because I wasn't so much that it looked very similar to the Manjaro installer. So it makes me wonder whether a lot of these distributions have been looking at each other and sharing installers or ideas with the installer. So it really kind of felt very much like doing that. And it was a quick install. I was into Open Manjaro in about 20 minutes after I started the installer. Not Open Manjaro, Open Mandriva, Rolling Rome. They should have called the Rock one. Rolling Rock would have made more sense than Rolling Rome. But everything looked fine. It's a KDE Plasma desktop. Very similar to the Manjaro Plasma desktop. And that's one of the things is I didn't invest time in looking at any custom options for the install. I just went with the full install, the defaults that it provided. It didn't really like ask me if I wanted to switch between any other desktops. As far as I can tell, I don't see it that there's any other desktops on this system other than KDE. I don't think GNOME's on here or anything else. Or at least that's not what's available or listed in the login window at the start. My first thing that I did when I got in here was I was like, I know, given that it's an open release and it was a rolling release and it's installed off of this SD card, and I didn't see it or it didn't seem to ask me whether it should be pulling down the most recent files or updates, that I probably would have to run the updater. But before doing that, I decided I want to install Mumble, and I went to install Mumble, so it's an RPM-based distribution, and they have a software installer, if you want to go the graphical route, which is called DNF Drake. Now, DrakeConf, interestingly enough, is not on here. And DNF Drake is the graphical installer, which is atrocious, in my opinion. It is very, very confusing. And what I note in almost every RPM distribution, especially ones that use DNF, is that I can't do a damn thing until it updates and it pulls down all the changes, which on one hand, I'm like, okay, it makes sense that if I'm going to be messing around with software, I probably should make sure everything is updated. All the package information is updated so that it gives me the correct information. But it just seems that RPM-based distributions using DMF take so much longer to pull down update information than any other package manager I've had to deal with. But that aside, when you fire up DNF Drake, it does automatically pull that information. Or, like I am apt to do most times, is go down on a command line and type in DNF search for the package I want, and then it's got to run the update, right? And so I think I started with, actually, I looked at the DNF Drake installer and I typed in mumble and I couldn't find it. So then I looked around at the sources and there were a couple of other repositories I can add. And then I did that and went back into DNF Drake and I couldn't find it. And so I went into the command line and typed DNF search mumble and it came up. And I'm like, well, I don't understand why it's not showing up in DNF Drake, right? So then I tried to install it with on the command line and it reported back to me a bunch of unfulfilled dependencies, which in the past, and I don't know if you ever heard of this, Joe, but back in the 2000s and before that and early 2000s, we would end up in what's called RPM hell, where
I have
they went through dependency hell.
Yes.
And
so,
I am planning on talking about it eventually.
Okay, so I'm almost finished here. So I'm like, that doesn't make, like, I didn't, why is this is all updated? And I went and I looked at the DNF Drake graphical installer and I noticed that I wish you could see it. It's, maybe you could look it up in a browser. Maybe I'll look it up after I'm done here. But in the search, at the top, there's a search bar that you could type into. Right? And if you do that and you hit enter, like for Mumble, and you don't have Mumble installed, or I do have Mumble installed now, and I'll get to that in a minute. Like, it tells me that there are no packages. And right underneath that search bar are a bunch of different options. And those options are, there's like a drop-down menu. And it says all, installed, not installed, and update. Okay? And then next to it's a search button, a config button, a download button, an update sys, a bunch of different things. So by default, all is selected. And when I type in a package, if the package is not installed on the system, it doesn't show it. I have to actually select not installed for any packages that are not installed to show up. In this, when I do a search, which seems to be very like counterintuitive, when you have an all in there, I would expect that all should show me what packages that are installed and not installed, or have an update that are needed, and should tell me that. So I thought maybe because I'm on a rolling release and it's in RPM hell, that it's just I don't want to deal with it. Right, so I took the time to download the 2.5 gigabyte install for Rock, which is the full desktop, not the rolling release, and went through the same installer. Everything came back up. I went into DNF Drake. Now that I knew what I was doing, typed in mumble. It came up as when it's uninstalled. I installed it. It didn't have any RPM issues. And then that's all I've done with it so far. I did try to see if DrakeConf is available. There is a meta package for DrakeConf. And when I try to install that package, if I search for it, and again, I have to click on the not installed, and if I search for it, there's a DrakeConf KDE4.noarch package from the unsupported repo, and if I try to install that, it lists a whole bunch of dependent packages that are unavailable. So anyway, it's, to be honest, it doesn't feel much different than Manjaro using Plasma does. Maybe Manjaro seems a little more polished to me out of the box, but it's all right. It lacks some of the stuff that I like, DrakeConf, and some of the stuff I would have liked to have seen maybe have evolved in the distribution, but it's no longer there. I have to say, I always end up with a bad taste in my mouth when I'm dealing with RPM based distributions. I prefer Debian package systems or Arch or Slackware or Gentoo, you know, install it from source and ports or whatever. I don't know, just RPM has always left me wanting, I would say. But that's it. I mean, it's a slick distribution. It seems to be fine. I don't know how big the dev community is for that. I hope that it continues. But there we are. I would not rank it as high as Manjaro was to me, my impression of Manjaro. I probably put it around maybe running little above. Is it Fedora? Yeah, Fedora. Fedora. It seems to be a little above Fedora to me. But that's it.
My concerns about Fedora these days, but yeah.
What were you going to say about RPM hell, Joe?
Well, dependency hell. I went through dependency hell just the other day because I pulled out the Pine phone and I did a fresh install of Manjaro Fosh, and I didn't realize at first that's Wayland. I mean, I should have figured that out right away, but I didn't think about it. But what I had wanted to do was like hook it up to an external monitor, which it seems to have the software to do. I don't know if it actually does, because I didn't get to that point in testing, and be able to remote into my home computer. So I wanted to install X2Go, which is my go-to. And, well, X2Go is no longer in the main Arch repo, so I had to go and get the AUR. The AUR compiled from source, and I did the make package tack S to do all the dependencies and everything. And, well, there were a couple of dependencies that it couldn't do. One of them was a set of libs, and then one of them was NX. The libs installed easy enough, went out and got the AUR for that and installed that. That worked just fine. But NX, I tried like two different AURs, and then before I got the correct one. And then I got the correct one, and that took forever to frickin' install. I mean, it was just running for hours to get that thing to install. In the end, I let it sit overnight. And then I went and did the complete install for X2Go and realized that, you know, it was Wayland, but the client should still work because I was just trying to install a client and be able to, you know, look at other stuff. And then I found out that no, even after you install and everything works right and you go through dependency hell, it still will not launch the X2Go client. And evidently there is a lot more setup that you have to go through to be able to make it work. And I just kind of given up on it at that point. But yeah, it very much reminded me of, you know, working on old Linux back in like 2008, 2010, somewhere in that time frame, where you were having to go out and find things and compile and then get all your dependencies fixed in order to make things work right. So a little bit of nostalgia there, and it was fun for a bit, and then it just got annoying.
What is that software, quote, KVM, that allows you to use... what is that?
I think it's boxes that you're thinking about.
No, no, not boxes. Joel, what is that one? Where you could use, you run the server and then the clients on the other machines, and you could use your keyboard and mouse and just move over and control the other two machines.
Oh, I'm trying to remember.
Synergy. Yes, Synergy. And I ran into that problem because I used to use Synergy a lot, but when they moved to Wayland, Synergy no longer worked because of what they did in Wayland. They don't support that stuff.
Well, Synergy is still a thing, but they kind of suck now. But Barrier is an open source fork of it, and I do still use it on my Mint machines.
What is that one?
Barrier.
Barrier. Maybe I should try that.
I don't know if that works on Wayland.
So this is Open Mandriva you installed, Dan?
Yes, Open Mandriva. I did both the Rome, which is their rolling release, and the Rock, which is not their rolling release. And I promptly left the rolling release and went to the Rock. So it, in a nutshell, it's nice. They ditched the Drake Conf, which I would like to have seen just for nostalgia's sake. And it just seems like a standard KDE distribution. It's nice. It is nice. I mean, I have to say, all the distributions I have tried, Slackware included, even though Slackware is just vanilla, it just looks so nice and clean and inviting and welcoming, and largely due to KDE. I guess that's it. And even XFCE really looks nice to me. I mean, they've done a really good job, whether it's just a plain vanilla on Slackware, which looks nice, or, you know, a little more configuration and customization that you'll get from Manjaro or...
You like XFCE, Mandriva. But you're not a Cinnamon fan?
I should try Cinnamon... Cinnamon's kind of like the GNOME before they, what was it, GNOME 3, was it? Or is
yeah,
it GNOME,
it's GNOME 2.
GNOME 2. I should. I played around with Cinnamon. I used to have Cinnamon on this desktop over here, but now it's this laptop, and this one is running LXQT, I think. But I do like Cinnamon. I just haven't used it in a while, and I should. I should put it on this one and give it a whirl.
Monte's always my backup for Cinnamon.
Yeah.
When I can't use Cinnamon, I use Monte.
I echo you. One of the pieces of software that I use, and I think I need to get away from it. But I love it, is my password manager, PW Safe, but it's not...
Yeah, you talked about that before.
Yeah, it's not like the PW Safe that you see. It's the older one, which is only command line, and I'm not able to get it installed on newer releases of Arch or Manjaro. There's just like dependency problems that it just won't build anymore. So I probably need to find something else. Anyway, yeah, that's neither here nor there.
Maybe you could run it in a VM.
Yeah, run it in a VM.
Yeah, I could, but at that point, I'm like, I could just move on to something else, too. You know? I don't want to have I have it across a couple of different machines, and I don't want to take the chance that if I consolidated it all into a VM and I fucked it up and lost it, then I would be like, oh.
Well, you do it in the Docker image, and then you store the Docker image somewhere.
You store it up on Docker Hub, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That way
so anybody
can get to
pull it.
It
down and crack it.
Yeah.
There we go.
Turn it into an app image. I wonder how you would do that.
a PW safe into an app or your password manager with your database in a app image? That's a good question.
Oh, I also had some more 3D printing fun.
Ooh.
So I know I told you guys before I was running Oct4A on an S7. Well, it was giving me issues, you know, print quality and higher speeds were a bit of a problem for it, and overheating and things like that. So, and not being able to use the camera at all. So my Pi 4B was just sitting around doing nothing, my occasional test bed. So I decided to, you know, get that all set up. The Raspberry Pi Imager made it really simple to put that on there with the camera stack. So that went on there, and my print quality went up, but I did have an issue with a clog nozzle. But the main problem that I had was I was running it with the camera today, and I was getting under voltage signals, and also I was working from home today, and whenever I would start a print, and it took me a little bit of time to put this together, but whenever I would start a print, my connection to work would go away. So it was evidently something to do with the camera being hooked up to it and it being on the Wi-Fi and it just suddenly taking up a whole lot of bandwidth, which, you know, killed my connection on my laptop to work. So disconnected the camera and everything started working fine again. I think what I'm going to end up doing is running an Ethernet cable over to the Pi, and that should handle most of those problems, hopefully. Maybe not the under voltage, which only seemed to happen when it was like really at the hottest part of the day, so I'm assuming that might have been an issue. But I don't know. But yeah, I did Linuxy stuff.
Woohoo!
Right? Manjaro and a Raspberry Pi.
Nice.
But yeah, that imager made it super easy to get set up.
Yeah, that's a great imager. I mean, it's very similar to the Etcher, which is, you know, you could use that too.
Yeah, to burn. I also have Etcher and so on. Well, I didn't just use it to burn it. You know, it actually pulled the image for me and
right.
Burned it.
Yes, and that's what that tool does. I mean, you can like download a Raspberry Pi OS without. I mean, you just go to the imager and say, I want Raspberry Pi OS, and then it downloads it and flashes it. So
the print quality is a lot better. The connectivity is better. Just, yeah, an issue when the camera's hooked up, but hopefully the Ethernet cable will fix that problem.
This isn't Octopi, it's something else, right?
Well, it's Octopi.
Oh, okay. Okay. I installed something too this week, which surprised me that I could even do it. macOS Sonoma was released earlier this week, and I was able to upgrade my corporate laptop to it.
To Asahi?
No. To macOS Sonoma. Gotta maintain the corporate managed stuff. Yeah, I can't install whatever I want on there, but. Welcome to 10 years ago. They added widgets to the desktop. but it's nice. Yeah, right. it's okay. I mean, it's probably the biggest thing that I noticed in it. There are some other minor things and a lot of things like and I'm still trying to figure out why my Mac doesn't support Center Stage. Center Stage, they can use basically what it does is try and keep you in the frame if you're in like a FaceTime or a Zoom session. All right. For some reason, it doesn't appear that my MacBook Pro supports that. So I don't know. But other than that, it's solid. Went in easy. Yeah, no complaints. Everything works, including my 48, as well as I did a PowerPoint presentation today for the team at work, and it went well. But I used the MacBook to do it. So, and just got back a little bit ago from. If you ever eat a Dan, I don't know if Joe has that, but I know they're around here. You ever heard of them, Dan?
Who? Heard of who?
True Foods.
No, never heard of it. What is it?
It's a restaurant, a True Food Kitchen, is what the name of it is.
Never heard of it.
Well, it takes a little while to go there, but everything's made from scratch, which is really good. And the one kind of interesting thing that I noticed was that the portions were like human size. They weren't like most restaurants providing you portions that are so much bigger. So, I had the Not Your Mama's meatloaf, and it had like a fingerling potatoes and carrots all served with it and microgreens. Really delicious.
Okay, yeah, they're up in the D.C. at the Reston.
Yeah,
Arlington.
Reston.
Yeah,
Arlington,
we don't have any down here.
Did think so. But if you ever come up here, though, I'd highly recommend them. They're pretty good. But then my systems and tools team, which is the part of the team I'm on, we had dinner Monday. We went to Fogo de Chao. Oh, my God. So good. It's Brazilian barbecue, kind of like Texas Day Brazil. So you have the little circle you put in front of you and say, when you've had enough and need to tap out, you flip it over to the red side. But it was really good. I couldn't tell you all the different meats I ate. I'm sure I ate lamb, chicken, beef, and pork.
So you stuffed your face is what you're saying, right? Ate like a pig?
Yeah, it's kind of been the rigor for this week. They had Lido's, or I think it's Lido's Pizza. That's a chain that's around here too, I guess. I don't know if it's only D.C. area or not either. L-E-D-O-S. They make their pizzas square because they don't cut any corners. That's their little mantra. And then today we had the potluck where I basically walked into Wegmans across the street and, drove over there. And it's weird here. Like, Wegmans and the Walmart both have parking garages attached to them. I guess it's just because everything's so dense around here. They got high-rise towers going all around the Reston area. So, but I got a creme brulee cheesecake for the potluck.
When's the potluck?
It was for lunch today.
Oh, okay.
So, and then I think the leadership bought some sandwiches, and everyone brought something different. Like, the kind of cool thing there was several let's see, we probably had eight South Asians, trying to think where they're what country they're from. But many different cultures anyway. Like, there's at least someone brought some stuff from wherever country. A lot of them, I wish I knew all the countries for sure, but I don't know. Because a lot of these folks have been working for the Action Line team has probably people with the longest tenure at the company working for them. So, but the just really great time. We did a white elephant gift exchange too. Like you normally would do at Christmas, but we did it there, and I ended up winning a coffee mug warmer. But the cheesecake was phenomenal, though. Although I will say this, It was friggin' expensive. Wegmans is pricey, man. But it was good. It was $32 for that cheesecake. It's like, that's expensive, but it was worth it. It had like some fruit. But good stuff.
I haven't been to Wegmans in a while. I love Wegmans.
They are awesome.
Yeah. They're that whole section over there, the food court bakery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all great stuff, but you're right. It can get a little pricey.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a shit ton better than going over there and getting a what?
Getting stuff out of Harris Teeter.
who makes a cheesecake in the frozen section? I can't remember. Like, was it Mrs. Paul? No, that's fish, isn't it?
Sarah Lee, maybe?
Sarah Lee, there we go.
But, yeah. Yeah, it's funny because I went to Harris Teeter too. Mostly because one of the things I was scoping for was just drinks for back in the hotel room. And I wanted to see if I could find a single cans of some of the Liquid Death flavors that I haven't tried. I did get the teas, the peach one, and the Armless Palmer. I actually like, it's kind of funny, I usually don't like the fruit teas much, but the Liquid Death peach tea was really good. And the Berry and Alive, which is the berry flavored sparkling water, that was good too. So now I might actually buy a whole 8-pack of it when I go back home. And I might be able to wash my clothes in my own washer. We'll see after tomorrow. But anywho, but yeah, I Sunday was kind of an adventure. I showed up, and apparently if you're checking a bag, you have to have your bag checked and headed to the airplane in a certain amount of time before your flight leaves. And I was probably about 5 minutes too late when I got there Sunday. So Sunday I had to spend from, 5-something in the morning until 2:00-ish in the afternoon at the John Glenn International Airport. I guess I could have called the wife and had her pick me up, but it's okay. I didn't want to wake her up. But then I finally got to Dulles about 4:00 and go to get my bag, and it's not there. And I'm like, shit. You know, I had no other clothes with me other than what was on my back. I had a pair of shorts and an athletic shirt on. And I'm like, so come to find out. And this is something I'm like, how in the world did they make this decision? But so I guess they load the plane, and the plane itself was too heavy, so they had to pull my bag off to lighten the load. And I'm like, all right. The only problem is, yeah, I know. So I guess it came on the very next flight out of Port Columbus, or John Glenn. I keep calling it Port Columbus. That's the old name. It's John Glenn International Airport now. But anywho, they sent it on the next flight out. And they delivered it to my hotel room midnight Monday morning. So I was at least able to dress business like to go to the office. But so needless to say, I was planning on Friday going to like the first session and then splitting to the airport. But I think I'm going to go check out the hotel and go straight to the airport and just skip those two sessions. So I don't want to have a repeat of Sunday. And United Airlines sucks. That's all I got to say on that.
Suck.
This is actually true too, but some suck less. Southwest is probably one of the better of the two. Next year, they're probably going to do it again. I'm probably going to try. Actually, probably going to alter my schedule a little bit so I have some time to go see stuff, because I wanted to go to the Udvar Hazy to see the Space Shuttle Discovery. That's not happening. They close at 5:30. You know, tomorrow we have another, it's happy hour I wasn't going to go to that, but then they said, well, there's food too. And I'm like, oh, well, okay, I'll go and eat. And the nice thing too is the team dinners, I didn't have to put those on my corporate card. The managers did. So I'm like, that works for me. Makes my expense report a whole lot easier. It's good. Reston and the DC area in and of itself, it's a great place to visit. I definitely would not want to live here. Too many people. Oof. But and I was telling Dan in my email, my rental car this week is a Chrysler Pacifica, and that has to be the strangest minivan I've ever drove. It's nice, don't get me wrong, but I'm just not used to the knob on the dashboard for the gear shift. It's weird. But probably really use it tomorrow, half the day. So basically, we're going to have just a couple little sessions in the morning. And then from 12 to 5, we're doing like a team building thing at George Mason University called the Edge Program. And it's actually in Manassas, not in Fairfax, where their main campus is. So then we're going to go to this happy hour thing. So, like I said, I wasn't planning on going because I don't drink, and I didn't know if it was just going to be a bar, but I guess it's a pub, so they'll probably get food too. So. And then Friday morning, I'm just going to head out and get home. My flight leaves at noon. I should be back in Columbus around 2-ish or so. And I'll text my wife once I hit the ground, and hopefully by the time I'm through baggage claim, I should be able to get home. Maybe even have enough time to work a little bit. I don't know if I will or not. It's been one of those weeks. Because that's the thing too, is if there was a session I didn't want to go to, I'd just sit in the office and work. So just do tickets and stuff like that. But so I'm missing my 3D printer a little bit, but I love this. One of the other analysts, and she did this about 8 weeks ago, all right, but she had a bobblehead made of the top manager for our whole team, and it looks just like him, and I'm like, man, that must have cost some money. I guess it wasn't too bad, but then she showed us the one her husband had made for her. And I'm like, I didn't even know you could make your own custom bobblehead or why you'd want to, but okay.
You gonna get one for yourself? Made of you?
No.
How much does that run, do you know?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
You could 3D print your own bobblehead, couldn't you?
Set 3D prints of bobbleheads, and there's actually one of like that's popular during October for Halloween of a ghost that whose legs pop down and it bobbles. So yes, you can 3D print your own bobbleheads.
You just have to what, put a spring in there?
Some of them, yeah. Some of them, I don't think you have to because it just relies on the springiness of your print.
Oh, okay.
Element.
Yeah, that wouldn't look. It wouldn't look at all like this custom bobblehead did.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't think she went here because the limit was supposed to be $30 for the gift exchange. I'm on a website here and it says, I see the most expensive one is $159.
What was $159? Or 59.
Yeah, $159
for the most expensive one.
Right.
What about the least expensive one?
Looks like a Excuse me, it looks like about 119.
119?
Yeah, it's all more than the budget, but...
$119 just to get a right. bobblehead of you or someone else. That's right. Kind of, I mean, it's cool, but that's pricey.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, bobbleheads to me are collectibles. It's like you don't buy a bobblehead of yourself or of your wife. You buy one of like of King Griffey Jr. or some famous football player or something. It's like, why would you want to have one of yourself? I don't know. I guess, you know.
I don't know. If I collected bobbleheads and somebody gave me a bobblehead of myself, I'd think that was pretty cool. I don't know if I'd pay $150 for it.
I think I'd make a pretty good bobblehead, one with a beard and all.
Yeah.
Would you pay $150 for that, Joe?
Hell no.
That's what I was saying, yeah. Well, it's like,
I'll be
like
3D
said,
printing that first.
Yeah, it's like we're talking about that. I said, I'm not that vain to have a bobblehead made for me. I have seen, like, if you ever watched Sparnacle's Nerdgasm, the only thing he's been doing lately is live streams, but a while back, he had someone had made a 3D printable thing of his head on a Buddha statue, and he called it Buddhacles. But it's like, he was pretty vain, still is. But yeah, it's like, for me, I'm like, yeah, I don't care. It's like I don't even buy like a jacket and put my name on it. It's like, you don't need. I don't need to advertise that. Tattoo on my butt. No, I don't have any tattoos. Wife would not like it. Happy wife, happy life.
We'll get over it.
Oh, yeah, she'd get over it, but... but it might be in a way I don't like.
Oh.
That's the same reason why she won't let me grow a neck beard.
They're itch?
Well, they do itch. But she would not like it if I did that.
How's your touchscreen working?
Touchscreen?
Yeah, it's crashing your Ubuntu.
That's okay. I think I'm not using it this week. I've got my Surface with me. I'm using my Surface. So, because it was, the main reason is it's the lightest machine that I have of personal machines, and I wanted to take as little as I could to, but still do all the things I wanted to do while I was here. It's easier to get Mumbo working on Windows than it was on Linux. I don't know. Audio seems to kind of taken a step back a little bit on Linux, I think. Because it's always a pain in the ass to get it going, especially if it's not an Ubuntu distribution. For some reason, I'm having problems with it. I think one big problem with it is Wayland. It doesn't really play well with Wayland, and a lot of Linux distros are switching to that.
Apparently nothing plays well with Wayland, right?
Right. Yeah, I like it. It performs well, and most everything does work, but it's always that little one. Hello, kitty.
Now somebody's going to want attention for the next hour.
Yes, he will. Yeah, my wife kept sending me pictures of our cat.
if you're going to put Linux on a Surface, that means you're pretty much relegated to Ubuntu, aren't you?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't think so either.
It depends. No, I know, like, up to the, I think they said the Surface 4 or Surface 5, like, everything's right. Already in the kernel. You don't now have to worry about that anymore. But if you're working on the 6 or the 7 or anything newer than that,
yeah,
you do have to still use the custom kernel. But okay. I'm pretty sure you can use the custom kernel and put whatever distro you want on top of that.
I have not installed it on here yet, but I have booted one of the thumb drives of Ubuntu, not recently, but a while ago on this one, and it did work fine. So I just didn't install it. When I get a because this is like my backup editing rig. When I get a new laptop or Mac, I'm also thinking about a MacBook instead of a laptop to replace or just upgrade the primary system I have. Then I will probably put Linux on this, and only Linux. I don't think I'm going to buy. And that's the interesting thing. You brought that up. That we're talking about Surface because they just had a Surface event, and I bet you nobody really knew about it or cared. Microsoft hasn't done a lot of new stuff with the Surface line. I think the Surface Duo is not going to happen. Like the Surface Duo 3 is not going to happen anymore. What's this? The main person over there. I'm trying to remember his name, but the main person that was responsible for a lot of that stuff has left Microsoft. So it's kind of unfortunate because the Surface hardware is nice. It still is. Even the newer stuff is pretty nice. They did a great job on it, but it's like they haven't changed the form factor all that much in the last few years. So, in fact, I'm using a several-year-old Surface Pro now, and I really have no desire to replace it with another Surface. So, if I got another system like that, I would probably look at something like maybe Lenovo has the their YogaBook 9i, which is really interesting looking. Basically, it's two screens. And it does come with a physical keyboard that you can lay over the bottom screen. And then you have like 1.5 screens, or you can also put it on like a stand. It's a really cool looking machine. I doubt Linux would run on it, but it does run on the surfaces without too much effort nowadays.
It just loses a lot of features.
This is true about the YogaBook 9i, yeah, because you would lose a lot of that. Because Lenovo and put a lot of work into making that form factor work. Yeah, and the nice thing is, like, you could set on the stand it comes with, you can set it where the screens are one on top of the other, and then use the keyboard and the mouse that came with it. Or you can also put it on its side so you'd have two portrait displays instead of two landscape displays. Side by side portrait displays, I should say. Yeah, so it just a lot more flexible with how you can use it, and none of that stuff will work on Linux for sure. But like you said, probably could do Linux. You might have to like use a USB keyboard. I might work with a Bluetooth one, but I don't think it will work for installation time. But yeah, this is left definitely going to get Linux on it at some point. Maybe, I don't know. Because I think what I'm going to do with my, I would normally be wanting to upgrade my laptop. So my Asus rig I have at home. But I think all I'm going to do this year is I'm going to get another M2 drive and then max out the RAM. I should do that for under 100. And then I can dual boot it, probably. Put Linux on the other M2 drive, and then dual boot between Windows and Linux. That laptop should run Linux like a bat out of hell. Put the 3050 and all that on it, so. And 32 gig of RAM. Actually, no, it would be 40 if you max it out. So an additional 32 gig. So. All right. Almost 10 o'clock.
Really? Holy crap.
Yep.
I wasn't here for half the show.
I wasn't.
Oy, 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 oy.
And it'll be October next show.
Yeah, that's right. You going anywhere in October?
No plans. Oh, and hopefully this weekend I'll finally crack into the coffee I bought at the Coffee Fest last weekend. I bought refined savage old man strength from Viking Coffee. It was just as good as I remembered it last year.
Ooh. Guess I gotta get a
promo?
Yeah. Gotta get them all up and ready.
Happy fall, y'all.
Alright. Damn, it went Walmart. Fast today.
Yeah. Well, we had fun talking about Linux-y stuff until Joel started talking.
Alright. Come back to that later. And, hey, where am I? Yeah, here we go. All right. Oh, my goodness. And anything else before I play us out? Nope. All right, well, we'll see you in October. Have a safe trip back, Joel. Stay cool, Joe. And here it is, your promos.
I am short.
Oh my God, it's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
And I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about paint your fine ass? Mm, yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm-mm. Oh, man. What do you say?
Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Joe, I should have saved this for the show. I slapped cinnamon on the mandriva. And they They didn't do anything with cinnamon. They just, it's just.
Just slapped it there, huh?
Yeah, it's just not like any customization. It's just plain old cinnamon in there. And it looks, you know, it looks like I would expect it to look. All right, say goodnight, Joel.
Noise. Goodnight, Joel.
He might not be here tonight, he said.
Well, I looked for an email. I didn't see one from him.
Because he didn't include you on the email, I think. I think he just sent it to me. Let me double check. Let me see. Wait, was it? Possibly not on it late. Oh, he's out and resting right now. That's right. So this is the email I get from him, Joe. It says, possibly not on it late. He must be sending it from his phone. Have a larger team dinner tonight. If I get out in time, I'll be on. Resting has been nice, but rainy. My rental car is a Chrysler Pacifica. The knob shifter is weird. So there we go. He's shifting knobs, and it's the way it goes. But anyway,
knobs.
Yeah. That means a full tech show tonight. Alright, let me get things ready to go. You have a good week?
Bad. It hasn't been busy as the last couple of weeks, so can't complain.
Let's see, what we got here? And there we go. This is 120. 1,020.